Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport.
Thank you for coming back to the Inside Lacrosse Podcast. I am Terry Foy, and today we are talking about one play development. We are joined by four of the brightest minds in the entire sport of lacrosse: Mike Mabry, Casey O'Neill, Andrew Stimmel, and Kip Turner. Fellas, how are we doing today?
Wonderful, brother. Happy to be here.
Good. Yeah, thanks for having us on.
Super excited.
That is the energy that we need on a podcast like this. So we're going to start by talking a little bit about what One Play is, how it got started, and what got you guys involved with it. But we're going to use the opportunity as the conversation goes along to talk about, you know, two of the things that are kind of core to the business and the relationships that you develop with your athletes, which are how to become better lacrosse players and how to navigate the recruiting process. So, Mike, I want to start with you. Can you just explain the origin of One Play and how this whole thing got started?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I would say the origin, going back to the beginning, was a desire that I had to be a life-changing coach, as the other guys on our team also have had just a passion to serve others and build great relationships and have a massive positive impact. That led me down my coaching career, where I met one of our now business partners, John Rothenberger, and we both saw the brokenness in the youth sports space, specifically in lacrosse, and an opportunity to serve families and players in a really impactful way. So for us, you know, at the heart of everything we do is transformational coaching. We're big on preparation, helping people, you know, where they want to be, get to where they want to be, taking a comprehensive approach to get there. So again, I mean, I really started with a vision to my first vision was to be a Hall of Fame coach. And I didn't realize that I'd end up being surrounded by Hall of Fame coaches in our organization. So it's worked out even better than I could have imagined. And like I said, all the guys that we brought on board just have that same core mission to be a life-changing coach and help prepare student athletes and families in a really detailed manner.
And Casey, because of, you know, how long you've been with the organization, I think you're pretty well situated to explain the combination of how the opportunity felt realistic given what you were otherwise doing at Gonzaga, and then basically how, as it's continued to evolve and develop, it's met your expectations and kept you in the mix. So how do you describe basically how One Play popped on your radar, how you made the decision that this was the thing that you were going to do, and how it's all unfolded?
So it's a great question. And again, I'm super excited to be here, especially with these great coaches and you, Terry. Love what you guys are doing. The sort of the origin of all this, I mean, it starts personally, because you do something for so long, which is being a high school coach and build something with great people. You start to think, okay, what's the next chapter? What's the next step? And there's so many great organizations and programs out there, but I was lucky enough to get a call from Coach Mabry about just meeting up, talking leadership, talking life. And he kept mentioning this sort of idea, this program that he was going to run with our other business partner, John, who he mentioned. And it just, like a light bulb, just, I mean, completely went off in my head. And just talking about development of players in a very holistic sort of way, and to be able to really not only like impact kids in our area, but then start impacting kids and programs around the country. And so that was an incredible way to sort of transition from being a high school coach. And I couldn't be more grateful to see where we've come from and where we are, and to be able to be sitting here talking with you at Inside Lacrosse about what One Play development really is. And honestly, to answer the best way I can, I think it's all about connections and people. Like, that's what this world is. That's what this life is how we connect. And it's just great. It's absolutely great.
And along those lines, Stim, you can speak to what has been maybe a little bit of the target employee acquisition strategy in the last couple of years, which is former college coaches, guys who are bringing a different layer of experience, where, you know, less on the high school and club side where you're advocating for guys to get placed, and more on the college side where you understand what it's like to, you know, steer the recruiting process and bring guys into your program. So how do you just kind of answer a similar question to the one I asked Casey, which is, you know, get involved? How do you describe how you got involved? And then, you know, how do you feel like your comparatively unique, although given that Kip is up next, less unique now than it previously was, point of view can enrich the offering that one play brings to the table.
Yeah. I've been fortunate to, you know, obviously get to know Mike and Casey over, you know, a little bit more than this last year, and just thrilled to be on board. It was awesome to kind of make that connection. And I think, you know, what started off as kind of a couple, you know, maybe more innocent conversations, I think really turned into something that, you know, we really felt like, you know, we could provide an unbelievable value to both coaches and families as we go through this process. And then specifically to kind of what you're talking about, Terry, more of like the recruiting aspect of this is, you know, kind of how do we take this incredible staff that we have? We have almost 100 years of college coaching experience on our staff now. And, you know, certainly help, I think, coaches and teams that are maybe looking for particular players, but also help families navigate this thing. Not only really by just educating them on the process, because I think a lot of clubs are doing an awesome job of that, but each process is unique to each individual. It's a fingerprint. And so we need to do a really good job, I think, meeting people where they're at and kind of just helping foster them through, you know, really what is an ever-changing environment in college athletics, but certainly in college lacrosse.
Kip, why don't you bring home this round of questioning as the most recent to join? What attracted you about this idea and opportunity, and how has it met your expectations since you hopped on board?
Right. I mean, the first attraction was the guys that I get to work with. I've known Mike for a couple of years. I've known Casey for, gosh, probably 12, 13 years. And, you know, I almost thought about going to work for Coach Stimmel at some point along the way. Not many people know that. And, you know, it's just, to me, it's really about the fact that you get to mentor young people and you get to have an impact on their lives. Like, I got that, you know, whether they know it or not, from specifically a guy in college who coached me for a year and got to really, like, impact my life. And I want to be able to do that for others. And, you know, just having the approach where you can kind of be like, oh, look back at your former self, like things I wish I knew. And gosh, you feel like you're just telling them stories when you're really just helping them out in so many ways that you don't realize. And that's the really cool piece of all of this.
All right. Well, before we get into some of the theoretical side of this and actually start talking about what your conversations look, sound, and feel like, Mike, just to make it clear for those that are listening, what do you offer? What is the service?
Yeah, I mean, there's a slew of services all around, like I said, transformational coaching. So whether that is working directly with a one-on-one student athlete who is looking to improve in the game, and if they are, we provide a very comprehensive approach. So we work at mental performance, nutrition, lifestyle, skill, IQ, you know, long-term planning, and mentorship throughout it all, being there for them throughout that journey. We do the same thing for student athletes and families in the recruiting process and provide, you know, the most in-depth evaluation and proper advocacy, and really taking the time to help them find their best fit. I think there's so many kids that, you know, don't, and families that don't take the time, ask the right questions, have the right guidance when they make that choice of what school to go to. But for me, what's the greatest part about that specifically is, you know, we call it the language of mental skills. Like, there is just so much that a student athlete can learn at a younger age about their own mind and how to carry themselves in day-to-day life that supports on-field performance, and also just being at peace with yourself off of it. So, you know, in all the programs that we do, our students have access to that, those materials, that guidance. And then we also work with teams and programs specifically on the mental performance side. So working with club teams to provide mental performance throughout the year, working with coaching staffs, working with some college and high school teams. So again, you know, we're in a position where we can help a lot of people with the guys that have come on board and the ladies that have come on board. So whether that's a one-on-one student or a large organization, you know, we're just there to do our absolute best to help them upgrade their culture, team dynamics, their process. And it's extremely, extremely rewarding.
The team side is an interesting one. I want to come back to that, but I want to just kind of follow up on the notion of the individual coaching. Casey, how do you compare being an individual coach from afar to coaching a team? And what are the things that are similar? What are the things that are different?
So the things that are similar in that aspect is, you know, every year and every team and every individual, like it's a different pulse and a heartbeat. So as we kind of mentor and work with young people from whether it's sixth, seventh, eighth grade through high school, every year's changing the landscape, right? The level of play, maybe the recruiting side of it, the conditioning side of it, the strength side of it. Same thing when you have a team, right? Like it's just new people are coming in, coming out. And so you want to sort of essentially make sure that you're getting the most, not only out of your team, but then the most out of this individual. All right. So while we are coaches, I mean, I think at the bottom line, we're actually educators. We really are. And like Kip had mentioned before, and Mike and Stim, like we're kind of a product of who's been around us and who we learn from. And most notably, we're educators, especially with these individuals in what we call Five to Thrive. So how they think, how they move, how they fuel, how they recover, and how they connect. And I really can't think of much better ways to educate, teach, and sort of guide young people along in those categories. So there are similarities. And for me, you know, the biggest change was those the games in the spring, right? I loved those. I absolutely loved it. What was hard is the general managerial duties in the off season and then worrying about like, what are we having for a tailgate, you know, or what's this, what time's the bus leaving, right? So now I can not only work with, you know, teams that I know, but meet new kids and sort of try to impact as much as possible and work with those coaches and any type of team or organization for that matter. So hopefully that answers the question.
It does. And I think that it touches on one of the things that I think is really important, which is when you become an educator, when you understand when you take the mindset shift of embracing the notion of education, I think it helps to cross what is, I think a lot of the times, the difficult threshold for whether it's athletes or coaches who, you know, move on from the team environment, which is how do you satisfy the competitive side, right? And when you think about yourself as an educator, you can really be invested in development. And the competitive satisfaction comes not from winning a game and looking at the scoreboard after the game's over, but looking at the film of a player 3 months ago versus now and seeing how much better he's improved, or talking to his coach over the course of 3 months and hearing how much better he is at engaging with his teammates and being a good teammate, or just looking at his athletic measurables and seeing, you know, how much bigger, faster, stronger he's gotten. So all of that makes sense. But, you know, Stim, I'm hoping that you can kind of give us a specific peek behind what an individual meeting kind of sounds like. So just to paint a picture, and I don't know whether or not you've worked with an individual like this, but, you know, I have it in my mind that, you know, there's, call it a 2028, so a current high school sophomore. Let's say you've been working with him for, you know, 6 months or 4 months, right? So August or the end of last high school season. And, you know, let's say that the first time you watched a film of him playing, you're like, he could be a Division I player, but it's certainly not assured, right? He's not he's not like a no-brainer, like, yeah, absolutely, this kid's going to get recruited. How do you describe, like, what an individual meeting with a kid like that would go, you know, over the course of whatever it is, 30, 45, 60 minutes?
Yeah, so I think first and foremost, you know, Terry, it starts with, like, a really good evaluation. Right. Like, I think that's kind of where we've come to the conclusion where we really want to start from a place where there's a lot of like clarity and honesty on where you are. And I think we found a lot of people just like they don't know where they fall. Right. Like they're like, I think I'm pretty good. But to your point, like, am I, you know, an ACC, Big Ten, Ivy type of player at the Division I level? Or am I maybe somewhere else in between? And I think that's really hard to tell, right, depending on where you are in the development process. And so I think we do a great job as a team really getting second, third, fourth opinions on film. And you know, as we go around and see our guys play this fall, right, we get more feedback. And we have such an incredible team of, you know, former coaches that, you know, if you feel like you missed something, I always felt like that was what was great about being part of a staff at the college level is, you may have 4+ opinions, you know, on them from your staff. And so for us, We have a great team of people, and I think that's where it starts, is it starts with clarity. We've got to know where we're at to understand where we are going. And, you know, I think we look at our role, in all honesty, of getting people where they are today for where they need to be tomorrow and helping with that preparation. And so I think over the course of that development, we really want to evaluate what somebody does well, what they need to do better, and how we're going to get them there. And if we can, you know, I think provide clarity in that process, walk along with them in that process through a bunch of different assessments we have, but also the on-field portion, the film portion, as you mentioned, Terry, the entire 360-degree total person development is what we were after when we talk about developing the guys that work within one play. And I honestly just believe that's, you know, where we're doing a great job, is it's not just on field. It's not just recruiting. It really is like, how are you showing up to class every day, right? Like, are you taking care of yourself? Are you hitting, as Casey said, your five to thrive habits that we believe are championship habits for any athlete, not just across the athletes. Does that kind of answer the question?
Yeah, totally. Kip, you mentioned that there were folks that influenced your life that they might not even have known. And one of the things I'm curious about is whether the guys that you've worked with so far have shared any feedback with you on how working with you has impacted them, what that feedback's been.
Well, I've actually asked for it from a couple guys. One guy, we took a sort of couple week hiatus, and it was because he was on vacation and he's like, well, it was in football camp. And I asked him when he got back, I was like, well, how's everything been going? And he's like, well, I actually really missed like our conversations. And I was like, oh, well, that means a lot to me, because I felt that impact directly from his mouth. And he said, coach, like, it's been life changing for me. This has been awesome. And what I had been doing was really just telling him stories about some of my experiences or my thoughts, or, like, you know, we played the same position. So I was like, well, mentally, what are you thinking here? This is where I think we need to go with it. And he's like, gosh, that changed my whole thought process and how I did a lot of things, not only playing the position, but just in life. And, you know, I haven't asked all my clients these questions, but that one in particular, it just, like, I didn't know that I was making an impact, but he let me hear it. And that was really cool. And it was good feedback for me. But it's really that mentorship piece that carries the day for us, because these guys, they don't know what they don't know. And if you can educate and teach, and like Casey said, we're educators, we're educating them on whether it's the mental game, the physical game, or this college search process, we're helping them handle all these life decisions and the ability to get better. And it's just it's really fun and it's really cool. And you talk about that competitive side that we might miss. I'm sure I might miss it in the spring. Okay. But I don't miss it right now, because I get to compete in the everyday piece of this. And I get to be like, oh, how are we going to get better today? How are we going to get better today with this individual or that individual? And that's the part that's really cool and really fun for me.
One of the things that I think is so useful is when folks are going through a process for the first time, to your point about not knowing what you don't know, just getting affirmation that the way that they're thinking about it or the way they're setting their expectations is so useful. And I think it's one of those things where it's like, you know, we all have our intuition, but whenever we act on our intuition, there's going to be a certain amount of doubt. And that doubt is going to limit the enthusiasm or ferocity with which you attack your challenge. If there's somebody that you trust because they are credible and they've earned your trust, they've shown you that they care about you, and they say, no, your intuition is correct, you should follow it, then you can take that doubt to really mitigate that fear and then attack much more strongly. Mike, when we started this conversation, we kind of did so on the basis of a shared challenge, which is, you know, we have this offering that is really high touch and we think that there's a lot of value in it, but we know that, you know, if we kind of goose demand but don't have the supply to fulfill it, then, you know, we're just setting a lot of people up for disappointing experiences. And so I know that growth in terms of the coaches that you've brought into the ecosystem has been, you know, a priority over the recent months. And you have brought in a lot more guys and women with college coaching experience. Can you speak to what that decision was that kind of went into it and how it's affected the way that the organization has continued to evolve?
Yeah, I think for us, our mission has been to build a high performing team, right? To find the right people. And I'd say we've attracted a lot of the right people. So without a really in-depth search, you know, just through conversations with our trusted network, we found, you know, a handful of more incredible coaches to be able to, you know, deliver these great services to families. But I think our design the whole time we were all together last month has really just been for us to be as a high performing team as possible, to make sure that our culture is very sound, that we're living the principles that we're teaching. And I just firmly believe when you get the right people in the right room, speaking the right things, thinking the right thoughts, taking good actions, great things happen. So, you know, I feel very confident that we're going to be able to fulfill the demand and help people as we go forward. And yeah, again, it's just like just building the best team possible to go out and deliver an incredible, super valuable service to others. And just one note on the question you asked about what does a session look like for an individual? It's customized to each kid. You know, I mean, there are students you spend more time with on the field, and the conversations you have out there are unique to them. There's students that it's more time virtually, connecting about the mental game, connecting about the recruiting process. So, you know, that's one of our, you know, strengths is that we take the time to get to know our people and evaluate them, like Stim said, and then use our experience as a staff to say, okay, here is the best process for you right now. And, you know, the other piece you said, when you get affirmation from the right people that you trust, I mean, in life, there's a whole bunch of things that pop up, right? Challenges that are unexpected. And when you're a phone call away from somebody who is experienced and composed and can help a family or a young person navigate that, those are very rewarding moments and go a long way. You know, just being there at the right time is something that we definitely pride ourselves on. So again, we're focused on just building a super high performing team, delivering a really, really impactful coaching and development experience. We all feel really good about the direction and bringing on the right families.
Stim, on this call, you're probably the guy who I've seen actually coach on the field in practice the most. And, you know, it made a strong impression on me. Just to speak specifically, I remember, first of all, I know, so shooting drills, you guys had, what were they? They were effectively you were using bounce backs as blockers, in order to shoot around them or to shoot at a higher angle. And also, was it your drill, or am I conflating memories, where you had to shoot, you had to release the ball over a goal into a goal? Was that something that you did? Yeah.
I can't say I'm like the creator of that. I think
I'm trying to say that you are either. I'm just saying
this is like a recorded, so I can't. I don't want to get called out by anybody. But
I actually think that when I asked you about it, it might have been a Dave Cottle attribution. Either way,
definitely Cottle. Cottle.
So I guess, you know, on that basis, right? Because of my familiarity, how do you describe the on-field sessions that you have with guys these days?
Yeah, I think it's all about the proper level of development, depending on who we're working with. And, you know, so I think everybody on this call, we have anywhere from current college players to high school to middle school players. And so I think getting really clear on, you know, in the evaluation process, what is needed for that appropriate level of development. And I think we've done a really good job on the back end of really getting clear on what does a 6th, 7th, 8th grader need to accomplish from like a skill milestone perspective at that particular time of their development and at that particular position. And so I think that's our kind of guiding light and principle to being like really specific when we go into an individual that maybe it's somebody that hasn't been playing that long, right? For me, from a hotbed area, a non-hotbed area like Pittsburgh, that's maybe progressed really, really quickly, but needs some fundamental work on some things that like they can be super successful on right now, but to maybe make them a Division I prospect, like we're going to have certain things that we need to do. And so I think with all of our backgrounds, like we're certainly capable of coaching a really high level Division I prospect or current college player. But I think we've also gotten really good at understanding like what are the main core principles that we need, positions specific and also specific to the individual on the field. And, you know, I feel like I'm the same guy. I probably am, you know, a little bit maybe more fun, you know, like I think with our middle schoolers and, you know, we compete a little bit more. I think that's a huge quality, you know, for us to remind our kids of is like we love this game, right? And we love it and it should be fun. I think the more we show up and love something and enjoy the process of improvement, the better off we're going to be and we're going to get, you know, better more quickly, I think, with that mindset. So, for us, it all stems from that proper approach, I think, to development, Terry, and doing it really specific to, you know, not each individual position. I think that's a given, but each individual kid, right? Like if I try to train somebody like Ben Reeves, right? Like who is in sixth grade and just started playing, that's probably going to be a failing, you know, line of thinking in terms of our development. So, our staff that's on here and also everybody that's part of OnePlay has done a great job contributing to what that methodology is. And I think that it, you know, is a reason that separates us and makes us different.
Casey, where do you see this thing going?
So I think about that all the time. And that's what really kind of gets me up every day and excited about where we were, where we are right now, and where we're going. It's kind of like in this language of mental skills, like the past is history. Future's a mystery, like what's real and relevant is right now, right here. And so to answer that question, like where is it going? You just kind of handle your day-to-day, right? Handle the day-to-day. Stim was talking about the development on the back end, and it's just continuing to put out an incredible product. And that starts with the coaches we have, right? Really teaching and working and doing our best, not only, you know, with the players, programs, teams, people, coaches we have. We do that really well, then we can start to see, you know, expansion. We have, Mike mentioned before, I'll mention again, John Rothenberger has kind of guided the ship for us in terms of a business model and how we develop and grow. But Terry, I'm not going to lie, like I'm so excited to continue to get, you know, people that are like-minded in our values and mission and principle, people that understand, like, I mean, I'll put it in this aspect, that we have to teach young people, whether they are in college, high school, or middle school, what it's like to truly train, right? It's not like the summer when you're playing 15 games every other weekend, right? Learning to play 15 games in 4 months is what you do in college and in high school. So 300 plus days a year, you got to train. You got to learn how to train. You got to learn to love how to train. You got to learn to love how to compete while you're training. And I think that's what at the core OnePlay does is like we teach them how to train, how to love it. And that goes to every sport that's out there. You literally have to just show up, do this wow factor, get better every 3 months. So I know that was a long-winded answer and I kind of put some points in there, but I think the sky's the limit. And when you get the right people, I can't wait to see where we're going.
Yeah, Terry, I'll add one thing on that. I think in the direction that we're going in, we want to see the sport of lacrosse just be healthier and healthier each season. And that stems from, you know, how coaches coach, how players treat each other, how they operate in between the ears. And so whether that impact is through our one-on-one players, the club teams that we support, the high school teams and the college teams that we support, we just want to see our sport be in a really, really great spot and for a lot of great future leaders. You know, so as we've talked about maximizing, you know, your potential on the field and off, so that when you do hang up the cleats, you have a really, really good sense of self and a great skill set mentally and from a lifestyle standpoint that you can fall back on. And I think we're going to continue to do that, you know, and it's just going to be, it's been a great ride so far and we're really excited to continue.
You mentioned two things that I wanted to follow up on, Mike. One being the kind of development into women's lacrosse. How do you describe the combination of where that started and where it's going?
Yeah, so our first hire on the women's side, Abby Latana out of Pittsburgh, an incredible coach and thankful for STEM for bringing her into the fold. She's done a phenomenal job so far, and we're taking conversations and we're gearing up for you know, a greater push into the women's game. You know, we're super aware of it. Casey has daughters that, you know, are in high school and middle school. And so he's very aware. Eric Saramet has daughters who play the game. And we've been in conversations a lot about the need that is there for them to get proper coaching and mentorship. And then as well, the recruiting process can be, you know, diabolical without the right guidance. So we're feeling really good about, you know, that direction. I'm sure there'll be more news to come soon on that.
And then just a little bit more specifics on the staff advisement, the organizational advisement, you know, thinking about it from a high school, college or club staff side, what's it been like working with those folks?
Yeah, I think the biggest area where we step in on is the mental performance integration. So, you know, we call it the language of mental skills. Any great coach is speaking it to some extent, but oftentimes we just lack the awareness or take the time that we dedicate to team dynamics. And the mental skills are at the heart of everything that we do. So most of the team engagements that we do are on that front. And we have some other partnerships where we support, you know, club organizations and teams with a little bit more back-end support on, you know, the culture, the mission, vision, principles, supporting them in building out their direction, as well as the X's and O's, the playbook, working with the parents of the program to help them all get aligned. And we've had some, you know, really good success stories on that front. But I would say the biggest area where we support those teams is on the mental performance side. And for, you know, a lacrosse team to get somebody who played at a high level and understands the game very well and understands the mental game to teach them that language, it tends to resonate really well. I think our approach is unique and different. And is definitely has been working for a lot of people. So we're excited to continue to support teams in that manner.
Kip, one of the reasons we're having this conversation is because you reached out to see, you know, what working with Inside Lacrosse could look like. How do you envision this Inside Lacrosse One Play partnership continuing to evolve?
Yeah, I think with the coaches that we have and the ability to, you know, help the Inside Lacrosse people help evaluate and help, you know, give more structure to what you guys are doing and how we can assist. And obviously, whether we're helping teams, individuals, it doesn't matter. But the more we can partner with someone like you, a group that runs events, a group that works with individuals, and a group that does evaluations, I think the better off it's going to be for all. And, you know, we've all coached at pretty high levels. And I think the honesty behind the evaluation and the legitimacy behind it can kind of help both parties.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so interesting because I've said this before, so I apologize if people have heard me and I'm repeating myself. But, you know, lacrosse, I think, is very frustrating. Lacrosse recruiting is frustrating to navigate because the sport is so subjectively evaluated, right? So, you know, on the most objective end of the spectrum, you have racing, right? So swimming and running. And then just in from that, you've got golf and tennis where it's an individual sport where your score is your score. And then it moves into I heard a term recently that I love, invasion sports, right? So those are basically team sports where the object is to get to the other end of the field. But in football, basketball, and then baseball as well, I think people don't realize like how much the objective, the athletic measurables are what determine where your future path lies. And then you get into soccer, hockey, and lacrosse, which I think are more subjectively evaluated than all the others. And lacrosse and soccer are the ones where, you know, your athletic measurables tend to correlate most loosely with how good of a player you are. And then production can be so dependent on your circumstances and your teammates, right? Or your opponents, that a lot of times coaches don't necessarily value your statistical production as much as if you're a parent, you think a future potential college coach should. And so on all of those bases, relying on folks with developed expertise becomes even more useful. And so, yeah, I think that as we continue to develop that, there's, you know, a hope that whatever the system is, and right now I think the best attribute of our system is not necessarily its objectivity, it's about its uniformity, meaning that like you put the same rubric on everybody. But yeah, I mean, that's where we're going with it. But Casey, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I just want to chime in. I mean, you make incredible points about that in evaluating in different sports, like the scorecard doesn't lie in golf and the stopwatch and track or swimming. And there is a lot of subjectivity to our sport, right? You see them at the right time, the right place, or you just don't get a great evaluation. And so I think what kind of separates what we do is how objective we are in teaching kids how to communicate and speak for themselves. So if they're great in all those other areas, right? They're next to another guy who's 6'1 and 170, but our 6'1, 170 knows how to have a tall spine, eyes on eyes, communicate, articulate who he is, what his likes are, and how he does train and how he does compete. I think people miss the boat in that. It's all about like what's out there. It's like, no, how do we be the best versions of ourselves and go through this process, right? Understanding how subjective it can be. Stim mentioned the fingerprint, but just being, look, what can we control? Our own personal journey, right? And so that's where we feel real strongly in that evaluation. And in dimension, what Kip said, like inside lacrosse and that partnership, I mean, it's, you guys are you're the biggest thing and the best thing in the sport. And so we want to align with great people, great editors, great writers, great coaches. And that's why we're doing it.
Yeah. And Terry, quickly on that note, I think, again, just the health of the sport, you know, is just something that we are really focused on. And we believe that, you know, partnership will help do that. And there's a lot of players out there that will benefit immensely. And some of them need the support of one of our coaches. There's no doubt about it. Oftentimes we connect with families, kids coming out of an injury or a challenging situation, like they need the guidance and we're able to step in. And that's, it's unbelievably rewarding for us selfishly, but it's really just important again for that individual, the teammates that they're around, their team culture, and it expands, you know, each person impacts 1,000 in their lifetime, if not more. So, you know, we also hope to get in front of more people because there's people that need the support and want the guidance. And we're in a position where we've been building this and developing ourselves to be able to, you know, play our role and be a great teammate in that journey. So we're excited for, you know, this bringing more eyes to us and us connecting to more families to serve.
Stim, I don't know if you're the best person to answer this question, but it's been the longest since you've spoke. So I'm going to ask you the distinction between mental performance and mental health. How do you regard it and what is it?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think honestly, Tara, I'd pass this to Mike. I think that's why we're part of being a great team and honestly having a great group of people is that I think we all have our roles to play. And you know, I look to Mike, I think, you know, for him to be kind of our guiding light in that conversation. So I appreciate you tapping back in for something else. But I think this is the benefit of having a great team right here. So I'll let Mike speak to that.
I love it. What a play, Sim. Terry, one of the things that we're clear with when we work with individuals and teams is we do not step into the world of clinical mental health. We do not diagnose or treat mental health disorders. And mental health has been a little bit, it's a broad term, right? In some of the experiences that I've had with different organizations, mental health really is about brain health. Right. And so for us in our culture, it's kind of this both brain health and just the way that you carry yourself, the way you perceive things. Mental performance is a set of skills, right? One, you know, awareness, internal dialogue, confidence, discipline, optimism, the things that everybody has, your ability to concentrate and direct your attention to certain spots. And what we've seen and what's been proven is that when you develop these mental skills and enhance mental performance, your overall mental health and well-being tends to improve. So I think there's an important distinction where we discuss, hey, we don't get into clinical mental health, right? We are in the space of mental wellness, proactive mental skills building. So a big thing is the skill of metacognition, which is the awareness and understanding of your own thoughts and to go into emotional intelligence, the awareness and understanding of your own emotions and the emotions of others. That's a skill that everyone should be taught. And it's something you have to continuously work on and reflect on. Those have a huge impact on your overall mental health. But again, to go on a tangent, mental health is related to physical health. Like if your gut health, if you've been eating junk and sleeping bad and hooked to dopamine on the phone, like there's going to be impact on the way that you see yourself, the quality of your thoughts, your words and decisions. So again, you know, to reiterate what Casey said, we're super focused on the controllables, helping them integrate habits that are sustainable, that are impactful, journaling, meditation, breathing, proper nutrition, proper fueling, having impactful conversations, limiting time on the phone, reflection. And when we do those, we've seen a really positive increase in just overall well-being.
I think it's a really good note to end on, because I think we've touched on the majority of the different elements of not only the operation, but also, you know, why basically the raison d'etre, the reason for existing, right? Which, you know, in you can kind of take, I love to take things either like narrow to broad or broad to narrow in the context of like understanding, you know, we felt like we had this thing to offer. We felt like there was a lot of, you know, room in the sport or folks in the sport who wanted what we had to offer. And now we're going to try to create the connective tissue in order to put those two elements together. And, you know, I think that everybody thinks about going through this is how do I become a better lacrosse player and or how do I get recruited? And right. And so I think you have to create an organization that starts with an understanding of we're going to help you get there. But for anybody that's been through it, they also understand that like you're not going to become a better lacrosse player and you are not going to get recruited unless you take care of all of these foundational elements that lead you to being worthy of those two opportunities to improve as an athlete and to have an opportunity to play at the next level and satisfy a lot of your goals. So I think that's a very full circle comment to end on. And so I'm just going to say, thanks, fellas. Really appreciate your time.
Appreciate you, Terry. Thank you.
Thanks, Terry.
Thank you. Thanks, Terry.
Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport.